It is a good World Cup day. Welcome, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Susmat on the road at the Honda Resort and Casino. It's always good to be at the Honda Resort and Casino across the great state of Arizona. Thanks for being with us on a day where the USA World Cup team, this is the dominant story in all of sports. We will be talking about that at great lengths. Also on the show today, Pedro Gomez will be with us, our ESPN baseball analyst who joins us every week on the show. And in the hour number two, Michael Dello Russo, the head coach of AZ United SC, will get you ready through the coach's eyes of the World Cup team. Also talk about United, tough loss over the weekend. But more importantly, today on this day, it's the World Cup match against Belgium and some of the strategy. We'll get the insight. No one better in the Valley than Coach Michael Dello Russo to break it down for us. Here at the Honda Resort and Casino is a beautiful day. I'd say it's, I don't know, this morning I was out in the patio like 55 degrees hanging out. Last night it was in the 60s enjoying dinner and all that. Down in the Valley, I know it's in the hundreds, 110 or so. Those of you catching us on AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic. Those of you catching us on White Mountain Radio, Bob Funk and Company, good people there. Appreciate their support in the show as well. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports on a busy Tuesday. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top here in the beautiful White Mountains. With the 4th of July holiday just a couple days away, you want to make it up here. The Sunrise Ski Resort's going to have a laser light show. You're not going to have a fireworks show in the forest. They're going to have a cool laser light show over at Sunrise. Here at the Honda Resort and Casino, America is in concert on Saturday night. You can come here, pull on down the slots like people are doing, have some big winnings, eat some great food, have some fun just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The White Mountains, the place to be, the Honda Resort and Casino. So I'm excited for USA and Belgium today. This is one of those matches where I don't know a whole lot about Belgium. I know that our president, who has been photographed watching World Cup games, has decided to not reply to the Belgian prime minister on a bet. I don't know why that would be. The Belgian prime minister tweeted out an offer to risk a collection of beers from Belgium, considered ground central for brews by some hopheads that are out there. President Obama refused to reply to him on said venture. I'm not quite sure why that is. Yesterday, Eric was talking about Waffle Houses and the Belgian waffles. The breakfast-oriented restaurant chain today, with no presence in half of the United States, put on Twitter today that its menus offer no Belgian waffles, only American style. It urged Team USA followers to refrain from ordering the Belgian version all game day. So, yeah, we're having the fun around all of this. But at the core of it, it's win or go home. That's it. If they lose today to Belgium, I mean, the simple fact they've made it into the knockout round, they were not supposed to get out of the group of death. Remember when it was all the way back to when they decided to form the team, and as they formed a team, they said, Landon, you cannot come with us. And fans everywhere said, and media everywhere said, oh my gosh, they're not going to go anywhere. Klinsmann just playing for 2018. He's crazy. He's drunk. He's high. Whatever. Well, here we are on game day in the quarters, and the USA taking on Belgium. If they win today, I already consider their run a success. I already consider where they are at this point a success. They've had a terrific run to this point. Doesn't mean I'm going to be satisfied today. If they get their doors blown out, I'm going to be happy with that. Here is Clint Dempsey on today's matchup with Belgium in the World Cup.
We're really hungry. We're not satisfied with just getting out of the group stage. We want to go far in this World Cup. And for some of the guys, it's the last opportunity. So you want to make the most of it. And I'm sure if we play the best of our ability, we'll get a positive result.
Jurgen Klinsmann, the coach, is going to have Jozy Altidore back on the field. Altidore had a hamstring injury that kept him out against Germany. Having him back on the field is big for the Team USA today against Belgium.
They've done a tremendous job. You know, they work day and night with Jozy. And so just having him with us is huge, you know. And how many minutes, but we'll see that during the game.
And then there's Tim Howard. We have seen these World Cup matches now that they've gotten to this stage, the drama of Brazil and Chile over the weekend, where it came down to penalty kicks. Tim Howard, the USA goalie, who's been outstanding, is prepared for that today.
I'm a believer that you just kind of go in with it, and the moment takes care of itself. You know, the odds just act against the goalkeeper, but, you know, if it happens, I look forward to it because it's an opportunity to, you know, win a poker match, really.
So the match again is later today. I am going to find my way up here in the White Mountains to find a place, and it may be right here at the Honda Resort and Casino, or I may go around town. There's other people I'd like to see up here too. But I may find myself watching the World Cup match in Pine Top or Sholo, Arizona. Who knew? Very much looking forward to that. Eric, are you going to check out the World Cup today? Or are you going to be doing your business today? Does this thing mean anything to you today?
Oh, no. I've already, Brad, carved out a nice 2.5 to 3 hour window in the middle of the afternoon. I think our coworker Jared Cohen and myself are going to make our way to one of the local eateries today after the show to check out the game.
Local eatery. And does that mean that you will be painted face Eric Sorensen and Jared Cohen, red, white, and blue today? Are you going to go that route?
I cannot, because I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm getting married this month. Just let that settle in.
Right.
It's not like 100 days. It's not like 74 days. It's this month. So I can't have I can't have any blemishes on my beautiful face made for radio. So no, I will not I will not be painting my face.
What a nightmare. You're worried about some acne. You're worried about a zit just because you're going to paint your face to support Team USA. What's wrong with you?
You know what?
This is more important.
You only get one wedding picture, I'm told. You can't do the do-overs, and they can only, you know, put so many different things on the picture to make it look better. So I got to go in with my best game.
Trust me on this. When we would do these publicity photos on the television side, when they'd bring us in, it was 10 years of these nightmarish publicity photos. There's not a chance that I ever looked like the way these photos made me look. There's this thing called Photoshop and airbrushing. So, you know, just get somebody who can make you look good and go enjoy yourself today, for crying. If you guys are going to go waste company time sitting watching soccer, at least I should make a mandate. If you want to get out of work to just go screw around and watch the World Cup, you at least have to wrap yourself in a flag or something.
Jared and I were talking about it, Brad. We may also waste some company money on top of wasting some company time. So I hope that's okay with you. We were going to try to, you know, sneak it in the next month's expense report. But since we're all open and honest about these kinds of things, I just thought I'd tell you now.
Travel mileage. You went like the extra 15 miles to cover a story. I got you.
That's it.
I got
that's
you.
It.
Yeah, that'll work. Here's part of the thing about today's match, too. So Michael Bradley has received the most criticism. Every team has to have somebody for fans to hate. It doesn't matter what sport that it is. It really doesn't. If it's the Cardinals the last few years, before Carson Palmer, it was the quarterback play. And even last year at the start of the season, it was Carson Palmer and the quarterback play. Towards the end of Adrian Wilson's career, Adrian Wilson was the guy that fans wanted to gang up on and blame him. Okay. When the Suns were not good the last few years, it was all Robert Sarver's fault. It was all the owner's fault. And there's actually a little bit of truth in that, but they wanted to find somebody to hate and blame. This year with Team USA in the World Cup, I had a lady sit behind me last week when we did our World Cup show out of Tilted Kilt, and she dropped she talked in tones and used verbiage that I've never heard towards any human being at any point in time. And so Michael Bradley has been the guy that's received the most criticism. He was muscled off the ball in the 95th minute against Portugal. And so fans have been all over him. This much I know about Michael Bradley. It's not for lack of effort. To give you an idea of how intense FIFA is, and when you have the World Cup match on, they'll show you at the bottom of a screen certain players and how far they've run in the match. So Michael Bradley, in the last match, FIFA had the match of Michael Bradley, and it shows that he's averaging 7.8 miles running per match right now. Every match, Michael Bradley averages running 7.8 miles. How is that possible in a soccer match? That's what FIFA does. They keep track of these sorts of things. So I have to admire the fact that he has the most miles of anybody. Now, I don't know if he's running after people because they're stealing the ball from him and he's putting more miles on in that way. But Michael Bradley has received a ton of criticism. And so I'll be watching him today. I think Michael Bradley's played very well. Jermaine Jones' success is due in part to Michael Bradley's play. So we'll talk about that with Michael Delarusso in hour number two. Today is free agency day one. LeBron James is so concerned about his next destination that today he's in Brazil. Forbes magazine listed him yesterday as the number two celebrity 100 in our world, only behind Beyonce. There's Beyonce and then there's LeBron. So if LeBron wants to go down and watch the World Cup in Brazil today, I think that's pretty cool. He can just jump on a plane and do that. He doesn't need to do the world tour of what team am I going to play for? What will my next destination be? One aspect, and many of you have sent me notes with links to stories about the Suns training staff. I've seen several stories yesterday that with LeBron closing in on 30 years of age, hard to believe, that the Suns training staff, which was able to keep players healthy or rehab them like Steve Nash, Shaq, Grant Hill, Channing Frye, that the Suns training staff may be one of the magic points, along with cash, and lots of cash, if I'm LeBron James, by the way, to keep LeBron from going to other teams out on the West Coast, namely the Lakers. That the Suns training staff has the ability and has shown the ability, and that will be one of the pitches to LeBron's agent about what the Suns will bring to him. It's still longest of long shots, but at least the Suns are in the game if they can convince to have a face-to-face. Like right now, Carmelo is listing Houston and Dallas as his first couple of destinations. Mark Cuban has already said, I'm not going to pay max money to Carmelo Anthony. So will they get a visit out of Carmelo? I'd say by this weekend. He's listed five right now. The Suns aren't one of them. The Lakers, Chicago, the Knicks, and others. And Jerry Colangelo, does he get involved? We talked about this yesterday. On the other side, we switch gears every week. Our ESPN baseball analyst, Pedro's been following the World Cup, too. We'll talk with him. Pedro Gomez is next. I'm Brad Sussman.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com. Time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussman.
Pedro Gomez joins us every week. Brad Sussman, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio. Today, we are outside of Pine Top in eastern Arizona in the White Mountains at the Honda Resort and Casino. Good to be with the Honda Resort and Casino. Pedro today is in the metropolis mecca of Bend, Oregon. In God's green earth, what are you doing in Bend, Oregon?
I am up here for 2 weeks, and we came to watch our son, who is pitching in a summer collegiate league, the West Coast League. He pitches for the Bend Elks. And it's actually, there's a couple of ASU kids on the team, Jake Peavyhouse and Hill. I can't think of his last first name right now. The right fielder. But anyway, there's a couple here, and just the summer college league, and see how he does.
What position is your son?
He is a left-handed pitcher, and that is all he is. They don't let him even look at the bat rack.
Is he going to one day be on the field while you're in the dugout reporting?
certainly that is a dream of his and mine, but boy, to make it to be one of the 750 in the major leagues is very, very much a long shot. So we'll just play it by ear and see what happens. But hey, he's pitching in college, and I saw a stat recently that only 6% of high school kids end up pitching in college. So he's already made it quite far for when you take in those odds right there. And by the way, Brad, the pitching coach of the Bend Elks, Alan Embry.
Ah, okay. So we got a little bit of a diamond back from the past.
Absolutely. He lives here. He lives here.
So I'm curious on this part, and we'll get into the other stuff in a minute, but as you make your travels, have you bent executives' ears for advice on how to navigate through? You're in a very unique situation where you could say, my son is a junior higher. My son is now in high school. My son is now in college. Have you been able to use the opportunity to get in front of these people, not to work them over, Pedro, but just to get advice and counsel from whether it's coaches, managers? I'm just curious on that.
Absolutely. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, all I'm doing is asking for advice, like you said. And, yes, pitching in the Summer Collegiate League was one of the things they said. If you can get him there, if he can somehow get there, that's a great stepping stone. And so without question, and, you know, I talk to scouts, I talk to front office people, and really it's about command and control. So, I mean, he's a lefty who throws upper 80s. He's reached 88, 89, and, you know, he's just 19 years old. So they look at those kind of numbers and say there's potential there because he probably doesn't even have his man body yet, which he doesn't. There's probably still another 2, 3, 4 miles an hour in him somewhere. So, you know, you're talking about some the type of numbers that can get you seen by a major league scout or and possibly drafted at some point. But again, that's way down the road. We'll see what happens. And to date, it's gone fairly well for him.
You said the man body hasn't come in yet. Do you want him to have the man body or do you rather him have the mom body?
Well, how about the man muscles?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Are you going to find a place in Bend, Oregon to watch the World Cup today? Or is that not, because you follow soccer some, I see on Twitter. Are you going to find some place in Bend?
Oh, no, I follow it, absolutely. And yes, yeah. We already have found a place that we're going to. It's an Italian name, but they're going to be all U.S. soccer today. So we're going to hit a place here in town called Paisanos. And it's going to be a big World Cup party, and not as big as maybe some of the other cities that we've seen in the news, but it should be exciting. And I think the whole country is kind of enamored by what's going on and really gravitating and following it, because it is once every 4 years. And you're talking about trying to reach the final 8 in the entire world. And the U.S. has an opportunity to do so. So, I mean, this is an exciting time for U.S. soccer. It's always an exciting time for soccer, period, just because the World Cup is the global event, sporting event on the planet. And, you know, it's taken a while. I think, Brad, when you and I were growing up, the World Cup was kind of like, oh, well, whatever. But it's certainly taking on a lot more relevance in this country since the U.S. has become much better at soccer.
Pedro Gomez with us with Brad Susmat today. I'm doing the show from the Honda Resort and Casino here in Pine Top. Pedro is in Bend, Oregon. We're in two mega towns, as it were. Pedro joins us here on Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio. On a serious note here then, before I even get further into baseball, what lessons can baseball learn from the fandom that we're seeing in World Cup, where we have today at Soldier Field in Chicago, it's sold out in Central Park of New York. And I understand, Pedro, there's 162 baseball games and there's all the postseason and all that stuff. But clearly soccer, you can't put a television rating meter on all the people in sports bars and people gathering in public parks and facilities. Clearly soccer has done something that maybe probably Major League Baseball and even the NBA need to learn from.
Yeah, I mean, the way that you can drape yourself in a flag, I think that is the biggest difference. When you're talking about, you know, that you're playing for the flag, it's different than you're playing for the Steelers or you're playing for the you know, Cleveland Cavaliers, whoever. It's not nearly the same thing. And patriotic pride brings out a deeper core of the fan than just, oh, we're here for the Steelers or we're here for the Miami Heat or the Suns or whoever. It's completely, completely different and brings out a lot more passion in people. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that they have. But in terms of trying to tap into that, I do think that there is something to be learned. But again, when, like you just said, 162 games in baseball, that makes it hard to try to get this type of fan reaction. The NFL probably could come the closest, and it's because it's only 16 games and they play once a week, which is similar to soccer where you play once every 6 or so days. But I think that it's difficult for any sport to try to get into this because of that patriotism that comes into play with World Cup type soccer. You know, we remember the 1980 Winter Olympics, and it was very similar for the U.S. Olympic hockey team, but it was because the flag was involved.
Because you couldn't put Yankees Red Sox on in Central Park with big screens and have 100,000 people show up to see it, even if the weekend series meant one team would go to the postseason and one would not. There's nothing like it that I've seen. You couldn't put even Cowboys Redskins up and say, hey, we're going to open up a park and have 100,000 people roll out to see it. I just don't get that.
No. The Cowboys did it to a degree because they opened up a stadium that you could put 100,000 in, and that's probably about the closest we'll come. But it's just something. I mean, it's every 4 years you really get people involved, and again, when it comes to patriotism, it brings out so much emotion and passion in fans, and that's why I think you see it with the World Cup, and you don't see it really with any other sporting event on the planet.
Okay, before you get out of here, so we're on July 1st. We know that the Diamondbacks are going to deconstruct. I don't see anything today that I look at that really jumps out at me about what's going on with Arizona, other than you know and I know that trades are going to be coming. I think the next couple of weeks we'll have a lot of interesting conversations about that. What I am curious about is, from your view on July 1st, if you were to talk about winners this year in baseball and losers this year in baseball, and I'm just talking about one team. It might be Texas with all their injuries. You just saw them last week. Or winner maybe, you know, fill in the blank, the Nats and the way they've responded to Matt Williams with all their injuries. But you have a winner and a loser at the halfway part of the season?
I would say at this point a winner would have to be the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't think much was expected out of the Brewers. And for them to have the kind of lead that they have in the Central over teams like the St. Louis Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cincinnati Reds, you'd have to put them in the winner category right now. The Giants certainly, but the Giants were that's a good ball club. So I don't know that they're necessarily a surprise, so to speak. In terms of losers, you'd have to put the Boston Red Sox in that group. I know it's easy for us to say, oh, the Diamondbacks, but I don't know that the Diamondbacks were expected to be a contender. I know they were within the front office, but on a national level, not nearly as much, especially with their pitching. Up until about 2 weeks ago, I would have put the Dodgers in the loser category, but they've certainly started playing much better baseball. At the same time, the Giants have not been playing nearly as good a baseball, which has allowed the Dodgers kind of to get back into it. You know, the Rangers, yeah, they've been hit by injuries, but again, I don't know that they would necessarily be a club that was expected to be all the way at the top. I still liked Oakland from the beginning in that division, and certainly they are a phenomenal baseball team. I had a scout tell me about a week and a half ago, I said, the Oakland A's don't do anything on the spectacular level, but they do everything on the very good level. And that goes to show you, you don't have to have a spectacular player, a presence like a Miguel Cabrera in your lineup. If you play team ball and you do everything well or above average or very good, you can win in Major League Baseball. But you've got to get all 25 guys buying in, and the A's have done that.
I'll let you go off that. Safe travels. Enjoy the time with your son. That's a great time for you, I'm sure. I'll talk next week.
All right, Brad. Take care.
See you. It's Pedro Gomez. Every week, ESPN baseball analyst Pedro Gomez, part of what we do here on Sports 360 AZ. Today, doing the show up in Pine Top in the White Mountains here at the Honda Resort and Casino. The 4th of July weekend is coming up on Friday and Saturday. Friday night out at Sunrise Ski Resort, just about 15 miles outside of where we're doing the show today here at Honda. They have a laser light show. They don't shoot fireworks off in the forest, guys, but it's really cool. A laser light show on Friday night and Saturday. America is in concert up here. So come on out, beat the heat, get on up here today. It's going to be in the high 80s. They're expecting some monsoons to fire up later on this week, which is good with the rain and bad with the dry lightning. So we hope for the best. On the other side, Johnny Manziel hung out with Justin Bieber last night. Yeah, I mean, you can't script this stuff. And a little bit more on the Carmelo side of the LeBron Carmelo to the Suns. And quite a bit of college football, actually, today that finished off last night with a closing out of some new conferences. I'll get into all of that on the other side. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio on Twitter, at Brad Sussman.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
On the road at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the White Mountains, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic. We're on White Mountain Radio across the White Mountains in the eastern part of Arizona. Rolling on through a busy Tuesday on a day where USA takes on Belgium. Later today, Michael Della Russo, his weekly segment with us, comes up in about 20 minutes. And very much looking forward to today's match. I am in that spot of fandom in that I'm so happy that Team USA has gotten this far. Obviously, I want to see them progress on. But if the journey ends today, is it viewed as a success by Klinsmann? Obviously, if they roll through today and meet Argentina in all likelihood in the next round, then you know all heck is going to break loose this coming weekend if, in fact, the USA wins today. The prevailing theory is we're a little bit better than the Belgium team. I'll talk to Michael Della Russo about that here in about 20 minutes. A couple other things are on my mind today. So Johnny Manziel showed up last night. Eric, did you happen to scan across the Johnny Manziel story in the last 24 hours?
No, actually I didn't, which is surprising because usually Johnny Manziel finds his way onto my Twitter timeline if I want him to be there or not.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Johnny last night was in Beverly Hills and he was hanging out at Justin Bieber's house. Can't make this stuff up. Floyd Mayweather showed up. The cops were called twice to Bieber's house because the music was too loud. So the owner of the Browns last week asked Johnny Manziel to tone it down. And not even 4 or 5 days later, here's Johnny Manziel in Beverly Hills at Justin Bieber's house. If anything, what Johnny Manziel decided to do is let's turn up the volume a little bit louder because this is who I am. You better deal with it. I mean, there's not been a player that I can recall outside when Matt Leinart decided to stroll into the NFL, and it was a very short stroll through the NFL for him. I can't think of a player who came in with such high regard, such big views, who partied his keister off and wasn't able to produce that the way that Matt Leinart did. And Johnny Manziel has put the biggest bullseye of all. He's going to end up being hated by everybody except those who are Cleveland Browns fans. And even those that are buying his jersey is easily the most sold in the NFL right now. I don't have any hatred towards Johnny Manziel. I just know how the sporting community is when someone comes in and they hold up their three fingers and they say, read between the lines, this is who I am, this is how I'm going to be. I would even think Browns fans are starting to say, you know, it sounds like he was at a high school party at 1 a.m. when the cops were called because the music was too loud. And there's pictures of Johnny Manziel too today in his party last night. This may be interesting to a 19-year-old girl with very low self-esteem, but I don't think it's interesting at all if I'm the owner of a professional sports franchise and I've invested a lot of jack. It doesn't matter what Johnny Manziel does on his practices, doesn't matter what he does in his workouts. There comes a line where, dude, you have to rein it in. And whoever that person is that can rein him in, if it's his family saying, go harder, then go date Paris Hilton. Go down that path. Matt Leinart did, and look how it turned out for him. You know, I think you can really draw some parallels with the, because let's be honest here. When Matt Leinart showed up and it was the beer bong party out in Chandler and there was the girls over on the West Coast, and there was the guys at clubs in Scottsdale calling me saying, hey, he was here at 2 a.m. and hanging out with X, Y, and Z and doing this and this and this. That stuff was everywhere, and that's in Scottsdale. You know, this guy's taking it to a level that if a guy like Kurt Warner were to sit down with Johnny Manziel and get real with him, and yeah, Kurt and I are on the same belief system in a lot of ways, and I am one of those that thinks, yeah, go have a good time. But man, this kid has come in and has just put the biggest bullseye on his back. Manziel had the famous quote, I am going to wreck this league. He's going to wreck something. I don't know if it's going to be this league. He's going to walk this fine line. It's well beyond where Joe Namath was, because Joe Namath didn't have the social media side of things. You know, I can't think of another. Eric, can you think of another quarterback, just quarterback, that has come in and has just gone so far on the party end and spectrum than Johnny Football?
No, and I'd even argue that Johnny Manziel has been even more wild than Matt Leinart. But, Brad, in the society that we live in, Johnny Manziel can do whatever he wants 6 days a week. If he shows up on Sunday and he performs well and he pulls the Cleveland Browns out of their, what, four-decade-long funk, then people should probably just let this guy do what he does. I mean, this is clearly, this is who he is. This is what he does. He's not going to change how he behaves on or off the football field, but he is setting himself up for a really, really, really hard fall if he is not successful in the NFL.
I mean, it just takes one blind side to the shoulder and year number one is done. And there's already the questions about that. He is so compelling to me. It's not that I don't want to see him fail. It's that I'm looking at him saying, man, this kid is so out of control. He's going 100 miles an hour and he's walking right up to the line. In one sense, it's really refreshing. In the other sense, really, you're out with Justin Bieber and Floyd Mayweather, and the cops are showing up because you guys are blasting music too loud in Beverly Hills. This is what you're doing? Is that kind of amateur hour? Aren't you better than that? Then there's this story. The Florida Gators put out their calendar, Eric. Did you happen to see this one for the year?
I did not.
Florida Gators put out their calendar for the year, and Mr. July is Aaron Hernandez. It's pretty smart thinking in the marketing department, right?
Wah, wah, wah.
How about like, hey, oops. Really? You guys went down that path? You couldn't figure that out? And there's people that get paid big bucks. People get paid big bucks to do these sorts of things. And they end up putting out, let's put our calendar together. Well, let's have Aaron as our July guy. That's a good idea. Have you anybody seen Aaron lately? Have you heard from him? No, we can't really track him down. That's because he's in prison. So, you know, it's like, come on, let's think here a little bit.
One last thing, Brad, on Manziel, I wanted to ask you, because it just got me thinking now that you brought this story up. Do you think if Manziel fails with the Browns and has all these off-the-field distractions, will this tarnish his legacy for what he did in college at Texas A&M? You wouldn't think it would, but remember, we live in a world where it's what have you done for me lately? And if this guy is a complete belly flop in the NFL, I wonder how many people outside of Texas, the Texas A&M community is very tight. They love their college football. They're always going to have Johnny Manziel's back. But will we forget how great of a college player he was if he's a complete bust in the NFL?
No, because as you said, Texas A&M people, they only care about Texas. They don't care about Cleveland. It's Cleveland's fault that Johnny failed, if Johnny fails. If Johnny succeeds, it's Texas A&M's reason that he succeeded, because we coached him upright.
True.
Cleveland will never, Texas A&M will never give Cleveland any credit for anything. We've got it all figured out at Texas A&M. You know, that's my view of it. Texas A&M, any football program in Texas has got it all figured out. Unless, of course, it's the high school that Todd Graham was at and they built a stadium and $69 million in damages later, it doesn't work. Or it's Texas A&M and they come to Arizona to recruit a high school quarterback. So they turn around and they're recruiting a quarterback for next year. It's already committed. I've already had people tell me Kyle Allen's not going to be the starter a year from now. He'll be back at Arizona State enrolled as a Sun Devil. That's already out there. And he hasn't even played a game yet because Texas A&M is going to roll through and have everything as big as Texas. That's the way it works out there. On the other side, so Carmelo, there's some word now of who the Rockets are going to have at their meeting to convince Carmelo to show up and sign with the Rockets. They have a meeting tomorrow. I'll give you the names of those guys. Also, a Sun Devil and a Wildcat are together in Houston on their summer league team. In college football, I touched on just a little bit earlier, how time have changed in the last 5 years when we started all this conference juggling. I'll get into that as well. Brad Sussmat at the Honda Resort and Casino, sports360az.com.
It's
Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio. Going to be on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. A lot of people pumped up, psyched up, geeked up. Team USA today in action against Belgium, World Cup. And we'll have Michael Dello Russo with us in about 15 minutes. Head coach of AZ United SC. He's been terrific in breaking down the World Cup. None better in the state. Michael Dello Russo breaking down the World Cup. Couple things today on from up here at the Honda Resort and Casinos. We'd continue on. So the free agency with Carmelo Anthony. We talked about the Suns, but Carmelo is going to be meeting tomorrow with the Houston Rockets as part of his world tour. The story, Mark Stein, who does a very good job, Mark is plugged into most every NBA team, some more than others. I have a pretty good suspicion as to who the moles are with the Suns, but that's fine. Mark Stein just put out on Twitter that Dwight Howard and James Harden are going to be part of the Rockets contingent lobbying Carmelo Anthony on Wednesday in Texas. My first thoughts on that are, what has Dwight Howard won, really? And James Harden, they're both individually terrific players. But there's no question the Rockets did a big old belly flop in the playoffs this last season. There's no question. You can't debate that. So if I'm Dwight Howard and I'm James Harden, I have to get through to Carmelo. And can I see Dwight Howard and Carmelo coexisting? I don't know. I mean, James Harden to me just looks like I'm going to show up and I'm going to ball with whoever balls because I'm James Harden. And that's just the way that I am. I'm a team guy. I'm not going to cause any problems. I'm just going to go about my business. I'm going to do my thing. If you guys want to bring him here, that's fine. If it doesn't work out, it's fine too. It doesn't work out. I just think that's a bad chemistry collection there because you're gonna have Carmelo wanting to get his 15, 20 shots and a half. That's just how he is. That's how he's always been wired. I don't think he's going to ever change his spots unless he's with LeBron. If you put him with LeBron, then I think he changes. I think he's able to change his game. And that's why I'm willing to have him here, even though I've been dead set against him on his own. If it came out that the Suns brought Carmelo here but didn't bring LeBron here, I would not be a happy show host. You know, I would not be happy. I'd be sitting here at the Honda Resort and Casino screaming bloody murder like, you guys did what? You only brought him here? You didn't bring LeBron here? And he's going to kill the chemistry? I think he's a coach killer too. You know, Jeff Hornacek's done a good job. So, yeah, Carmelo can meet tomorrow with Houston. That's fine. And he can meet. I've had fans send me notes this morning. Well, you know, Brad, you're talking about this, and Carmelo hasn't listed the Suns. No, he doesn't need to. You're naive if you think that he's just going to meet with these five franchises. That's not how this works. LeBron today is in Brazil. He got on a plane last night, and he went to Brazil to work on his World Cup game. He wants to be there for the USA against Belgium. That's fine. I have no problems with that. It's not a bad bit of news for the Suns. The longer this thing progresses on, the better I think it is for the Suns. And they can go do the World Tour, and at some point, the key is, will the Suns get the meeting? Will they get the meeting? From my understanding to this point, they have not gotten the meeting yet. If you can get the meeting and lay out all of the advantages that Phoenix has, right down to the training staff. It's no secret. The training staff in Phoenix resurrected Steve Nash's career. They resurrected Shaquille O'Neal's career. There are players, Grant Hill, his career was done, over, till he went to the Suns training staff. It's no joke what Aaron Nelson and company do there. And it's renowned around the league. So if you're LeBron James, and you're closing in on 30 years of age, and you know your body's put a lot of miles on it, why would you not consider the long-term implications and also look at the track record? Shaq, Grant Hill, Steve Nash, they all did well when they came to Phoenix. And oh, by the way, when Steve left the Suns, he's a shell of himself now with the Lakers. The Lakers couldn't get rid of his contract quick enough right now if they wanted to because he can't move. And so the people that were working behind the scenes can extend a guy like LeBron James' career. That's no joke on that. So while these visits are coming out, even as I'm sitting here doing the show today, I don't look at Houston and say, boy, Houston has a real advantage over what the Suns have to offer. No, they don't. Houston cannot pay Carmelo and LeBron the same amount of money. So if Carmelo wants to go to Houston and be with Dwight Howard and James Harden, I don't know if that makes them the team to beat in the Western Conference. I see a bunch of individuals that are going to sell a lot of jerseys, and that's about it. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So General Manager Tim Hovick and the good people at Ford from day one said, Brad, wherever you go, when you leave, whatever it is that you're doing at Channel 3, when I left, they said, wherever you go, we will go with you. And we have been together now for 3 years. And as we go into our third year and on beyond that, he talks to me constantly about what are we going to do with Arizona State this year? Or, hey, are we going to see you at the Pac-12 tournament next year? Tim's always talking about what's coming up. He's not looking at what's in his rearview mirror. He sells vehicles. I help him sell vehicles. I drive the Ford Fusion. I love the Ford Fusion. It's really not that hard, guys. And so when you have somebody that's as big a sports fan as Tim is and you have the Ford shield behind you, why would you not want to go to Santan Ford and get that new vehicle? As big a sports fan as he is, he's involved not just with us, but with ASU, with the Diamondbacks, and with the Cardinals. Stop on in for yourself. The team at Santan Ford, it's not just myself. On the team is Larry Fitzgerald, Carson Palmer, Patrick Peterson. We're all spokespeople for Santan Ford. Where it is all about you, that's Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, it is all about you. Today's show at the Honda Resort and Casino in the White Mountains coming up this weekend. The laser light show that is going to take place over at the Sunrise Ski Resort. That is on Friday night. They don't shoot fireworks up in the forest, okay? So this cool laser light show that'll be on Friday night. It's like 113, my wife said today down in Gilbert. You need to get on up here and get away from it all and enjoy yourself and stay here at the Honda Resort and Casino. America's in concert here on Saturday night. Friday night for the 4th of July long weekend. Why not get up here and enjoy yourself? They also have the Coldwater Classic we've been talking about. Plenty of information at Honda Casino. And, of course, on Sports360AZ, just click on the Honda ad there. Okay, some college stuff I wanted to get into. So Grand Canyon released their schedule today. And as we said in basketball, they were going to play or are going to play at Kentucky, at Indiana. They have Harvard coming to the Valley. Terrific schedule on that front. Very happy with that. We'll have a story up on Sports360 about that later on today. Today is the college football anniversary, the five-year anniversary of college football going through complete transformation. 5 years ago today is when we had the start of realignment of conferences. Last night was the finishing touches. Eric, I'm going to play a game with you real quick. Do you know what conference today Rutgers and Maryland are in? Do you have any idea today what conference Rutgers and Maryland are in?
See, Maryland is in the Big Ten. And Rutgers is in the ACC?
Today, Rutgers and Maryland are part of the Big Ten today.
Ah, one out of two.
Okay. So, and the Big Ten has how many teams now are in the Big Ten?
Oh, the Big Ten has to have like, 13 teams now?
14 teams are in the Big Ten.
14.
So we have these collegiate institutions of higher learning. You go into math. How many teams are in the Big Ten? 14, of course. Big Ten, 14, of course. Big Ten, 14. All right, let's play this a little bit further. The Louisville is now a member today. As of last night, Louisville left their conference. What conference is Louisville in today?
Louisville is in the I don't know.
As big a college football fan as you are, and college fan as you are, Louisville is a member of the ACC today.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So, yeah. The Big 12 today has 10 teams. Once again, we have a second conference that doesn't know how to do math. Big 12, 10 teams. Big 10, 14 teams. The Pac-12, 5 years ago today, tried to become the Pac-16.
I remember that.
Texas?
Yep.
They pursued BYU 5 years ago today, and that all fell apart. We have the Pac-12 today. Do I think it's a great conference? I'm not big on Colorado and Utah. I don't think Colorado and Utah have brought a whole lot to the game. I don't think they brought a whole lot to the field. Colorado's football facility is a dump. I don't think ASU has recruited Colorado to that great of extent. I don't think that Colorado and the Mountain West, the Rocky Mountain region rather, has brought the recruits that if they had Texas and Texas A&M. Okay, Eric, I have one last one for you in this segment. Eric went to TCU. As of today, how many conferences did TCU go through to get to where they are today in the last 5 years?
In the last 5 years?
Last 5 years.
In the last 5 years, one. They went to one.
WAC?
Not in the last.
They
not,
were part
not,
of the WAC.
Not in the last five
in 2009.
Years.
2009. 2009, they went WAC, Conference USA, Mountain West, Big East, Big 12.
That's not.
You're going to disagree with me on that?
No, that's not right. That's not. That's
you're not,
not
agreeing with me on that.
It's not
one.
Accurate.
They
were
in the last. They were in the last 10 years.
In the last, yes, in the last 10 years, they went. They well, when LaDainian Tomlinson was there, they were in the WAC, and then they went to Conference USA, and then in like 2004, they joined the Mountain West, and then they were in the Mountain West until this is their third year in the Big 12. So,
but they were in the Big East for like 10 hours.
I believe that's
remember that.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. Yes. I believe that's correct. Less than a day.
As a TCU, as somebody who's proficient in Texas Christian, my point is, as we count down towards the start of Arizona State and Arizona football, we're 3 weeks away from being a Pac-12 media day. I'll be out in Los Angeles for that. We're just about a month, about 5 weeks away from being at Camp Tonizona. We're about 8 weeks away from the season opener. The season opener in college football is about 7.5 weeks away. When we have South Carolina open up their season against Texas A&M, no less. So this all was finished off last night with Rutgers and Maryland, part of the Big Ten Conference. There was a time where college football had it all figured out and college athletics had it all figured out. My point in this rant is, as Arizona State and Arizona and the Pac-12 try to move forward, I think there's going to be another round of gobbling up of conferences. And I think that Arizona State and Arizona are in pretty good shape because of the television market size, but it would not surprise me to see the Big 12 look west a little bit further and see if they could dive into Arizona. Would not surprise me at all. Not saying it's going to happen, but I'm thinking that that's a direction to look towards. Sports 360 AZ on the road. AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic. Good to partner with White Mountain Radio. On Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. On the other side, World Cup, our final preview before today's match against Belgium. Where are you going to paint your faces? Where are you going to go to watch the match? You could be here at the Honda Resort and Casino. You could be up here in the White Mountains, down in the Valley. USA, Belgium, trying to get on to the next round. We'll talk to Michael Delarusso, head coach AZ United SC, for some last-minute thoughts on the match today as we roll on a busy Tuesday from the White Mountains. Off we go in hour number two across the great state of Arizona. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ, partnering with the Arizona Republic. Good to partner with them on AZ Central Sports. White Mountain Radio, at Brad Sussmat on Twitter. Today, doing the show up in the White Mountains. It is about 80 degrees up here at 7,000 feet. This is the place to be in the eastern part of Arizona for the 4th of July holiday, but also, more importantly, check out the World Cup match, USA and Belgium, coming up here in a matter of a few minutes. Michael Delarusso is with us, head coach, AZ United SC. I saw Michael walking off the field, trudging off the field, because that was tough Saturday night. They came up short against the OC Blues. We'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes. But on a more positive note, how are you feeling about USA today, Michael? Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good to be here, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. I feel good. I'm happy that the USA is playing in the knockout round. How optimistic are you about today's match?
Nah, I feel pretty good. I think everybody should. The only thing I think people are worried about is Belgium finally hitting its stride, because they're a very talented team and haven't really showed it so far in this World Cup. But hopefully we can catch them. We're in good form, and I think Klinsmann has the guys believing in themselves, so I'm looking forward to it.
So I get questions for you on every show, and today I have asked Coach, should they bring up the back line to create more early chances? What do you think?
you know, you can send Fabian Johnson because he can run all day. and DeMarcus is smart about it. But, you know, I think, you know, if we hold Beckerman and our two center backs, then I'd have no problem sending our outside backs. But you got to be careful because, you know, Belgium has a lot of guys that can counter pretty quickly and get in behind us. So, you know, Fabian's done a tremendous job. I think he's an outside back that this country's never seen before. So I'm looking forward to for him getting in the attack and just holding DeMarcus a little bit and being smart.
This is from Steve in Peoria. The Belgians have a habit of starting slowly. What does the coach think about that? Are they vulnerable to start early?
Yeah, I think we both are, though. the U.S. has been, you know, known to give up goals early. So I think that's a key part to the game right there. First 5, 10, 15 minutes even. You know, we've done decent. You know, obviously we got off to a fast start about Ghana against Ghana, but, you know, we showed a little bit too much respect for Germany. So I think we got to go into this game very confident, very positive. And if we do, I think we can jump on them early.
This is Mark in Tempe. Michael Bradley's play so far, he's covered a lot of ground, but has he really played well? I've just found that every team of any sport has to have somebody for fans to beat up on. And Michael Bradley has been that guy in my inbox for whatever reason, Coach. What do you think?
Oh, he's definitely been that guy, I think, because the expectations are so high of him. You know, if you're looking at it, and, you know, Bradley's done okay. Like, he hasn't been terrific on the ball, as we all know him. We expect him pretty much never to lose the ball, at least be 90% on the ball. So, you know, when he's about 70, 75% on the ball, it's a terrible day for him. But, no, I'm looking out at big things for him. He has a lot of experience. A lot of guys have trust in him, and he's a key component to our team. I think he's going to have a great game for us today.
Michael De La Russa with us every week, head coach AZ United SC, Arizona United. Check out their content, arizonaunited.com. Their next home match coming up later on this month. They're in play on 4th of July in Los Angeles against Galaxy 2. Joe and Gilbert, Josie Altidore, how much does Michael expect him to play today?
I'd say about 20 minutes. Don't think he's going to start him. I'd hope not because, you know, I don't know how strong his hamstring is right now. He's going through training and all that, but it's a different story when you get on the field. He's going to have to really push himself. But, you know, if we're struggling to create chances, we're struggling to get in behind him, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in around the 60, 70-minute mark.
And Mark and Awatuki wanted to know your view of Jermaine Jones' cup so far. He thinks he's played terrific. What's your view?
Yeah, I've been very impressed. I'll admit I'm not a huge fan of Jermaine Jones, or I wasn't before this World Cup, but I think he's done tremendous. You know, just his overall attitude, the energy he brings to our team, the way he's been able to keep the ball and just be a little bit of a difference maker, which I've never seen out of him before, which has been really, really fun to watch.
I'm just curious, as you've watched this, who's the player on Team USA that you've looked at and said, wow, he's really come a long ways in his game?
I got to give it up to my Maryland boy, Kyle Beckerman. He's done tremendous. I mean, he's had a great career. People are finally seeing what type of soccer player he is. You know, he's always been limited by his athleticism. I think that's, you know, especially being in America, a lot of people have given him a hard time about that, but you're seeing on the world stage right now that he can compete with some of the world's best, and it's great. It's great to see, and, you know, he deserves everything. You know, he's worked really hard his whole life. I've seen him come up since he was 12 years old, and he's been, you know, he's been a great guy his whole life, so I'm very happy for him.
If for the fans that are just jumping into this in the last week or so, give them just a couple of things today against Belgium that the United States must do in order to advance on, other than score more goals. Well, I got that, but you know, give them a couple of more tidbits, Coach.
You took my answer, huh? I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
no, I knew you were going.
We got to be more organized than them on the defensive standpoint. You know, you see a lot of these games; it's pretty much one goal game. So we got to be very disciplined defensively. But at the same time, I think, you know, going forward, we got to be the more dangerous ones. You know, it's not going to come down to who possesses the ball the most, believe it or not. It's who makes the most of their chances on both sides of the ball. You know, Timmy Howard's going to have to come up big once or twice. You know, somebody on our back line might have to save one off the line. But having that superstar, that special player in a big time moment step up for us. And hopefully one of our guys does it for us today.
Okay, so let's get over to Saturday night. You're up two. You feel real good. I'm doing the play-by-play. I actually have some goals to call. Life is good. And then, wow, it ends up being a rough finish for you. What did you make out of Saturday night against OC?
I took a lot of learning moments from it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. We controlled play for about 40 minutes, probably the most committed our team looked all year. The play still wasn't great, but I think we had complete control of the game. And we give them one chance, and that's the problem that we've had this year. We give teams one chance, and they make us pay, and we haven't made them pay. And, you know, when they give us 5-10 chances in a game, it's just kind of having that instinct and that belief to put a team away. And that's kind of what we're working on, is our overall mentality. And then, of course, dealing with adversity, because, you know, in the game of soccer, you're going to have to deal with that quite a bit throughout the match. And we have in different forms this year, and I don't think we did a great job on Saturday of doing that. But we're working on it. We're getting there. We're still a young team, but we got to start making moves soon. So
I'm getting a lot of questions from fans about adding some offensive firepower, and this has been a question I've been asked in email form for 5-6 weeks. I feel like you and I, when we get together, I don't want to be repetitive on it, but we're now in July, season's halfway over, a couple months to go. Do you feel as though adding some offensive firepower is something you're going to do, or is this is what it is for this season?
You'll see.
that's a good answer. Well,
Let's say that. We're always working. So we'll see what comes about in the next week or so.
Let me ask you this. Freddie Adu was in Phoenix, and he was training a little bit, and fans sent me notes about that, and I forgot to ask you about it last week. Did you see him at all when he was out here working out?
I did. Freddie and I have known each other for a long time. I've known him since he was 12, growing up in Potomac, tearing up club teams when he was 12 years old, and then ending up signing with D.C. We stayed in touch when he was on D.C., I haven't been in touch with him for a while until he came back to Philly and started playing with the Union. He was looking to get back in shape. He's a great kid. I think he's a guy that needs a chance. He's just turned 25 again. So he went overseas to Bob Bradley's team over in Norway, Stabæk. So hopefully, you know, he shows well. He's out here getting fit, and he's still a tremendous player, and he has a lot of years left in him. So hopefully he'll do well on trial over there, and we'll end up signing him.
You'll end up signing him?
What's that?
You'll end up signing him?
No, I don't think so. I told him there's always a place here for him. So he knows that. Him and I get along real well. So he knows if anything comes up, I'll have a place for him to play if need be.
Yeah, I saw Kaká signed with Orlando City, right?
He did.
For the league, is that a good catch for the league in your view?
I think it's huge. We're bringing guys in. Obviously, Kaká is a little older, but he still has a lot of good years left in him. And then New York signing, it's unbelievable what this league's going through right now. And you know, the excitement of the World Cup is just adding to it. So I think it's great. The MLS is hitting it at the right time. The new TV deal they started, everything positive. Moving in the right direction in this country for sure.
I like the stay tuned part. I'll be in touch. I appreciate your time as always.
Sounds good, Brad. Have a good day.
You too. It was Michael Della Russo, head coach AZ United SC. We got some pretty technical soccer stuff coming. That was good. I like it.